When a man asked Jesus about eternal life, why did the Lord point him to Mount Sinai and tell him to start climbing? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Paul would later write, "If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." If we could climb to heaven by way of Mount Sinai, as someone has put it, then there would have been no need for Mount Calvary. So why does Jesus answer in this way? And what does it have to do with those awful Samaritans? Jim will pull several scriptures together to conclude his sermon, The Good Samaritan.
In Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about the law, and he says the law is perfect, it is good, it is just, it is holy. There's nothing wrong with the law and the standard it depicts. It accurately tells us how we should conduct ourselves if we would please God. If we want to live life in its fullest measure, keep the law. Don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't this, don't this, don't this, don't this. Honor your father and mother, etc. Do these things, and in doing them, you will experience the highest level of human life possible. Paul points out in Romans 7, we can't do that. We don't have within us the capacity to do that because we are broken people. We are sinners. And he even goes on to say the harder he tries to keep the law, to attain those standards, to do those things, the more he discovers something inside that makes him do just the opposite. So while on the one hand he longs to keep the law, the harder he tries, the behinder he gets. Now, in both the case of the lawyer and the case of this rich young ruler, Jesus is talking to people who are arrogant, who are self-righteous, who have spent their lives studying and giving obedience to the things that the law prescribes. The problem is, they were doing it externally. They were doing it as a matter of rote. Or, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, before he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and when it came to the righteousness that's found in keeping the law, I was blameless." Paul never murdered anybody. Paul never lied. Paul never this, Paul never that, never that. And at that level, Paul said that he had lived a life of blamelessness. But when he met Jesus Christ, he suddenly understood that the law contains more than just the outward act, that the law also involves the inner motivation. And when a man looks on a woman to lust, he's an adulterer. When a woman tells half a truth, she's a liar. That the outward standards of the law were not just the wooden standards, but that they were outward standards that could only be met by someone who had an inner heart, a right heart attitude. And that's what love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength means. It means that I will not murder you. In matter of fact, I will love you and seek your best. I will not lie to you. As a matter of fact, I will only speak the truth to you and do that only graciously. The whole inner motive of love disqualified both the rich young ruler and disqualified the lawyer. And that's what Jesus is seeking to do. He's seeking to bring self-righteous people to an understanding of their need for outside salvation. He wants them to learn from the law that they cannot do it themselves, and he wants them to then seek help from the only one who can save them. So the law takes the sinner by the hand and leads them through all kinds of miserable failures in order to bring them to a place of dependence upon Jesus Christ, in order to help them understand how Jesus Christ can save them, because he is the only one who perfectly kept the law, and in order to persuade the sinner that law-keeping can only lead to his condemnation. Okay? Now, that whole lesson was also taught in the law itself. God handed Moses 10 tablets and a set of plans. What were the set of plans for? The tabernacle. Yeah, don't forget that. God gave Moses the law and the tabernacle. He gave a whole series of thou shalt nots, thou shalt nots, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. And at the same time, handed Moses the plans for the sacrifices, for the tabernacle, for the priest, the priesthood. Why? Because God knew what man would soon find out. That is, that man can never keep the law of God out of his own effort. He will always fail. And the law pointed that out. There is none that doeth righteousness, no, not one. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, God provided at the same experience that he gave the law, which would condemn, he provided the sacrificial system, which taught the lesson that forgiveness of sin and fellowship with God would be made available on the basis of substitution. Substitution. That's what Jesus wants the lawyer to see. That's why he's driving the lawyer back to the law and why he confronts the lawyer with the failure of the system by putting the priest and the Levite on the road and having them pass by on the other side. Now, not all priests, not all Levites in real life do that. There were thoughtful Levites. There were thoughtful priests. They would have stopped and helped, even though for them it would have meant encountering certain ceremonial defilement, and it would have meant for them a postponement or a rearranging of their temple work because of the defilement of dealing with this person and his condition. But when Jesus has the priest and the Levite walk by, he is saying to the lawyer that that system which they represent, will fail those who do not practice the inner heart of the system, and that's to love God. When he brings the Samaritan on the scene, remember, the Samaritan could not become a Levite. The Samaritan could not become a priest. The Samaritan was not allowed in the temple precincts. He was a half-breed. He was a Gentile. And there can be no question that while the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the lawyer these awful questions, that a despised Samaritan, a half-breed, is actually practicing a relationship of love with God that fulfills the Jewish law better than what the lawyer who knows the law and is a Jew is fulfilling it by his seeking a loophole. But there's no question Jesus also is teaching the Levite that the day's coming, Mr. Jew. The day's coming when there's going to be a whole bunch of people that you consider to be the offscouring of society. They are going to come, they are going to enter, they are going to participate in the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, and they are going to displace some of you who are Jews and have had the privileges of Judaism and the law and the sacrifices in the temple all these years. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. Centurions were Jews or Gentiles? Gentiles. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a Gentile centurion, he's an officer in the Roman army, came to Jesus, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. I also am a man under authority, like you, Jesus, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, another, do this, and he does it. He understood how authority works. When Jesus heard this, Jesus marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Whoa, wait a minute. He is saying that this Gentile soldier understands faith and is practicing faith more effectively than anybody Jesus has met among all the Jews. That's a phenomenal statement. And then he goes on to say, I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan, he is showing that God does not share with the lawyer his prejudice. That God wants all men to come to faith in him, and that God's offer of salvation extends beyond the narrow circle of the privileged Jewish people. And when the roll is called up yonder, if we could use that term, when the final pages of redemptive history are written, many Jewish people who were privileged to grow up with the benefits of circumcision and the law and the prophets and the temple and the priesthood and the sacrifices, these people who had such tremendous insight and privileges from God, many of them are going to be outside the blessing of God, and many of the Gentiles who did not have those privileges will have come to faith in God and stand in redemptive relationship with him because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And they will sit down. They will enjoy the blessings. They will participate in all the promised blessings that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all of this was anticipated way back in Genesis 12 when God said to Abraham, you know, you get up and you go to such and such a land and I will give you a seed, and in your seed all nations of the earth will be blessed. All Gentiles, all those people outside the covenant promises God made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his descendants, all of those nations are going to enter into and participate and experience the blessings of God. Let me make one last comment from our study of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, look with me, please, at that verse 31. If you mark in your Bible, mark this one and ponder it. It's the only time this word occurs in the Greek language in your New Testament. Let's take a running jump at it so we can see what it means. Jesus is telling his story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, that's the word, by chance. That's a poor English translation. The Greek word means in concurrence. What it tells us is that God was behind the scenes occasioning the trip of the priest, likewise the Levite, likewise the Good Samaritan. It's telling us that with God there are no accidents, and that God is as concerned for the poor man lying there half dead as the man and his family are. And God is orchestrating, God who allowed this person in the story to be overtaken by thieves, God has anticipated that need in scheduling and orchestrating behind the scenes the events that led first the priest and then the Levite and then the Samaritan there. You and I need to grab that. First of all, to remind ourselves that all things are being orchestrated for good, Romans 8:28, that God is orchestrating all things for good to those who are in love with Him. There's no such thing as an accident. Nothing overtakes you that catches God by surprise, Christian friend. And you will never face a need, no matter how drastic. You and I will never face a need that God hasn't already filtered through His divine grace and providence. And if He allows the deed, it's for a wonderful cause. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that the God who permitted the thieves also anticipated the need of the one half dead and orchestrated all of the myriads of events that resulted in the, quote, happenstance, end of quote, of the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan coming into view of the man who needs their help. I find great refreshment in that. It reminds me that God does not abandon us in our need, and God is not surprised or shocked by the things that overtake us that are not pleasant. The other side of that equation is also true. And that is, God is orchestrating my life and your life to take us into deliberate encounters with needy people. What you and I need to do is to cultivate in our hearts and minds an expectation of that, so that we are alert to the opportunities that God gives. When I begin my day, I should begin by recognizing that it's already planned in God's mind. God already knows what I'm going to do, and He's such a great God that His plan involves all of my free will. I plan this, I plan that, I choose not to do this, not to do that. And God already knows all that I'm going to do, and God already anticipates that, and God somehow in His sovereignty and grace overlaps that so that I am going to be placed by Him in occasions or opportunities to minister, to express love to Him and love to my neighbor. Now, if I don't expect that, then I'll go through life blind. I'll never see those opportunities. Or I'll see them and I'll be insensitive to them and unresponsive to them. The lawyer got that message, I'm sure. And the lawyer responded by saying, well, the one who showed mercy, the one who mercied the one in need. I'm encouraged by that today, too. Sometimes we create the impression that as children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that we need to somehow win every unsaved person we meet to faith in Jesus Christ. And that somehow if we leave them still with doubts, with questions, if we leave them in an unconverted state, that somehow we failed God. The other side of it is we have this impression that if we can get them to read the four spiritual laws and pray the prayer, we can hand them the book, wipe our hands and say, there, did that, that's neat, that's all done, let's go find another one. Both are wrong. What God wants us to do is to learn to show mercy, to empathize, to do what we can, recognizing that we are limited. The Good Samaritan couldn't stay all week. He had other things he had to do. And there was a point where he had to entrust the care of this one into the care of someone else. Now, he was willing to be responsible for the cost of that, but he couldn't do all the care all the time the rest of his life. What he did was he showed mercy to the point of need and took that person from the point of need as best he could to the next point, and then left him there in the care of someone else. You and I need to learn that lesson, Christian friend. All God sometimes wants me to do is to say something gracious to the waitress. All God sometimes wants me to do is to stop and let the person on the side street go in front of me and smile graciously. Sometimes all God wants me to do is to just smile to the busy, frustrated staff as I walk down the hospital corridor. Sometimes all God wants me to do is to open the door for the woman with 3 kids, 16 purses, and 14. I mean, life doesn't have to be a series of crises where I've got to lasso every person I find, brand them with the Christian brand, and deliver them to the kingdom of God. It doesn't have to be that way. That's a life of frustration. But what the Good Samaritan did is what God wants us to do. He wants us to show mercy, to have compassion, to get involved in caring for people at the point that we can, mercying them, leading them to the next step. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. Oh, it's a wonderful story. It's an incredible parable. It's full of all kinds of meaning. And I hope it accomplished its target. I hope it shook up the lawyer, made him aware of his ridiculous self-righteousness, the shallowness of his view of God, and the shallowness of his professed love for God. I hope it caused him to see that we love God by loving others. And I hope it made him sharpen his mental pencil and note his failures, and then seek God's forgiveness for his sins and God's substitutionary payment for his guilt, and enter into life, a life not based upon doing what the law commands, but loving the one who kept those commands, forgives me of my failures, and is willing to take that whole law and write it in the soft fleshly tablets of my heart, so that I become a merciful, compassionate friend of sinners, like he did.
By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, even Samaritans, even you. Jim's message is The Good Samaritan. You can get the individual message on CD for a gift of $7 or more, or purchase the entire series, Stories Jesus Told, Volume 1. It comes in an album of 12 CDs, yours for an offering of $42 or more. If you wish you could amplify the good voices, the true voices, consider sending a gift to Right Start Ministries. We're heard over radio stations in Ohio and New Zealand right now, plus the web. And thanks to all of you who are giving and praying to make that happen. We couldn't do it without you. Please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And check out the website, rightstartradio.org. When you visit, you'll find a mountain of materials designed to help you in your walk with the Lord. We've cataloged the radio shows, so you can play those right from your computer or phone. Or we can shoot new programs to you automatically if you'll get the Right Start podcast on iTunes. And if you'd rather have Jim's sermons uninterrupted, you can play or download those files too. Just visit rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Jesus rescues sinners. He rescues Samaritans. What kind of person can't he save? We'll think about it tomorrow. Please join us for Friday's Right Start.